You're listening to
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It is April 17th, 2015. Spring is starting to blossom here in New York. I hope wherever you are, the weather is good and things are well for you. But in Washington, goodness gracious, God help us all. It just gets crazier by the heartbeat. So glad you're able to join me this Friday evening to play that game of catch-up. And as I started saying, the week has been off to a very tough start, or to a tough conclusion, perhaps. And that's what we're going to focus on today. You know, I'm a retired senior special agent with the old INS, the Immigration and Naturalization Service. And every week I try to bring you the stories that the mainstream media won't cover, provide the perspectives, so that you can make sense of those stories that are out there, because there is so much out there. And incredibly, absolutely incredibly, incomprehensibly, if you will, the mainstream media refuses to acknowledge the obvious, that step one in protecting America is to keep our enemies from gaining access to our country. You would think it's a simple matter. You would think it makes sense. I'm not a huge sports fan, but, you know, think of the goalie who tries to block the puck from getting into the goal. Think of the doorman at the house who keeps out strangers that want to wander into the building. Think of all the ways and all different walks of life and situations. We start out protecting ourselves, protecting our possessions, protecting those things that are important and those people who are important, by keeping away those folks who would do harm to them. This isn't a difficult concept to grasp. But yet, suppose journalists can't wrap their brain around it. Maybe they don't want to. Maybe their bosses have told them that they can't talk about the issue. But we not only must talk about the issue, but we must confront our elected politicians with this issue. And when I say confront, I mean peaceably. You know, the Second Amendment, or rather the First Amendment, talks about the right for peaceable assemblage. So this is about being peaceable, but being very clear to those people elected to supposedly represent us, make it clear to them that we're not as stupid as they hope that we are. And so my goal is to provide you with the information that you can build upon when you have those all-too-rare meetings with those elected representatives, when you have the conversations, have the facts, have an understanding of the issue, because those folks are in the business of attempting to bamboozle us no differently from some con artist. And all too many of those politicians are con artists. There's been a revolving door in Albany, the state legislative body in my own home state, where once again one of the leaders in the state Senate is under investigation for corruption. You know, it's a continuing saga. People ask me why I don't run for Congress. I tell them, no, thank you. I tend to run from Congress. I mean, there are some good guys and good gals up there. Senator Jeff Sessions certainly heads my list of favorite people, along with Chuck Grassley, the senator from the state of Iowa, my friend Lou Barletta from Pennsylvania, congressman. There are some good people. But by and large, we're looking at the big swindle, and it's being conducted by both political parties. It's not one side or the other. They're both lousy. They both conduct themselves like criminal organizations. You'd never get a U.S. attorney to prosecute, but boy, if ever you can make a case for RICO, racketeering influenced corrupt organization, the same statutes they use against the mob certainly would apply to the Congress. They commit offense after offense, and they are offensive along the way, so that they can garner those campaign contributions that, of course, have no influence upon them at all. So here we are. Today, by the way, I want to put a couple of websites out there so that we don't forget, and then we will mention them a little bit later on again, but get out your crayons, folks. If you're familiar with me, you know about these websites. If this is one of the first times you're listening, welcome aboard. My own personal website, michaelcutler.net, C-U-T-L-E-R, michaelcutler.net. Also, for many years, I've been a senior fellow with a terrific organization. CAPSWeb.org is their website. Their name is Californians for Population Stabilization. They're a terrific bunch of folks. They are headquartered in Hamilton. Sorry, I'm looking at something else. They're headquartered in Santa Barbara, California, and they're really terrific to work with. They've been hammering this issue about immigration and the impact on California for many years, leading the charge. But I have to tell you, what happens to California is what's happening to the whole country. And they do look at this as a national issue, not just California, but somehow the name of the organization is Californians for Population Stabilization. But they have been hammering the environment, the impact on wages, the impact on America's minority, the impact on jobs, quality of life. There isn't an issue that isn't getting slammed because of this country's continuing, in fact, accelerating failures to not only secure the borders, but enforce the immigration laws and adhere to a system of order. This is really chaos created by our own government. In fact, I wrote an article for Progressives for Immigration Reform. Easiest way to get to their website, PFIR, where I talked about the chaos, which was the nemesis of Maxwell Smart, those of you old enough to remember Agent 99 and Agent 86. It was a spoof on the spy tales, James Bond and that sort of thing. But really, this chaos that we are experiencing has been manufactured, designed, and exacerbated by this administration. Utter chaos, not just health care. And everybody gets excited about Obamacare, and we can have that conversation, but it's outside of my area of expertise. But immigration, chaos reigns supreme. And now the Fifth Circuit, or perhaps I should call it the Fifth Circus Court in California, is coming down with a ruling that's not helpful to us in terms of this insanity that Obama is foisting on us by giving millions of illegal aliens identity documents, employment authorization. It's astounding. It goes beyond astounding. It's disgusting. So we have this push for more jobs, right? We're going to create more jobs. Every politician, I don't care if they're running for president or dog catcher, I'm going to help create the jobs. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the jobs are not going to Americans because we are admitting into the country more foreign workers than the number of new jobs we're creating. And that's the legal workforce. That's without even looking at the illegals who get in and go unpunished. So if you look at how many lawful aliens are admitted to work here, whether they're here with green cards, meaning they're on the path to citizenship, 1 million a year, whether it's the nearly 2 million aliens and trainees who are permitted to work in the United States, or the hundreds of thousands and, God forbid, soon to be millions of illegal aliens that will be granted authorization, we're probably not creating 2 million jobs a year. If you do the math, we're probably dealing with the 1.5 to 2 times that number of aliens entering the U.S. legally entitled to work in the United States or requiring that authority to work once they're here. And this is why the middle class keeps shrinking. This is why wages are in decline. But this is also why the economy still isn't recovering, because the wages are dropping, you're taking expendable income away from the middle-class consumers who tend to be the engine that drives the economy. What do you expect is going to happen? And now this race for the bottom is infecting the whole world. And globally, the economies of the countries around the world are cooling down. Why are they cooling down? Because the destruction of the middle class is well underway, engineered by the fraction of the 1%ers, the Gateses and Zuckerbergs of the world. You know, if you think those guys are philanthropists, as I said in a previous show, then you would have to believe that the person who puts cheese on a mousetrap is trying to feed hungry mice. It doesn't work. But so be it. Californians for Population Stabilization has been doing a really great job of getting the word out. I'm very happy to write for them and join a bunch of other great writers on their staff. So again, that website is CAPSWeb, CAPSWeb.org. Also, Progressives for Immigration Reform, Front Page Magazine. And in fact, my article on Front Page will be the kickoff point for my discussion with you this evening. I call the article Bordering on Catastrophe, ISIS Camp on the U.S. Border. And then the subtitle, America Plays with Fire and with American Lives. So we're going to talk about this report that was issued and the focus of the report by Judicial Watch was on these ISIS camps within 8 miles of our border and what this really means for all of us. We're also going to look at this guy who was just arrested from Ohio, who was over in Syria learning to become a terrorist so that he could carry out attacks inside the United States. These are all interconnected. These aren't isolated stories, folks. These are all interconnected. They're all predictable. And yet our government is going exactly in the wrong direction unless they're trying out for the MVP award from ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Boko Haram or one of these other terrorist organizations. Because what we're doing is making it easy for these folks to come into the country, hide in plain sight, and then, God forbid, launch an attack and kill lots of people. And that's what they're up to. And where are we in all of this? Very disturbing stuff. So please go to those websites, Progressives for Immigration Reform. By the way, the easiest way to their website is just go to Google and punch in PFIR, PFIR, Progressives for Immigration Reform. Well, without any further ado, let's get to that lead story. Judicial Watch, a couple days ago, Tom Fitton, the director over there, published a report that said that there were sources within the Mexican military and law enforcement establishments that had come up with the information that there were ISIS training camps along the U.S.-Mexican border. And this is extremely disturbing because, you know, let's face something else. Once those aliens get to within striking distance of our border, it's a very easy matter for them to come to New York or Chicago or Maine or Los Angeles, anywhere in the country. If you go to the main cities or the major cities of the United States, you will find large numbers of illegal aliens who did not who didn't come into their city directly but came in either through the border or perhaps landing at an airport. They may have landed at the airport in their town or they may have landed at some other airport and made their way to that city because these folks are on the move constantly. They're moving across the northern border, the southern border. They're landing at international airports, and they're getting into vans. They're getting into trucks. They're getting onto trains, and they're moving around the country wherever they want to go. And so if we have ISIS terrorists operating along the Mexican border, how hard is it for them to come into the United States and get in a van, get in a car, and make their way to whatever city they want to go attack? This is what's being left out. And what are we doing with aliens who come here? We're giving them identity documents. We're giving them lawful status. We are giving them the opportunities to embed themselves in our country. And this is exactly what the 9/11 Commission warned about. They said, you know, the problem that we're facing is that when aliens come here that are intent on committing acts of terror, their goal is to embed themselves, and the way they do it is by lying on their immigration applications. And that's just the way it is. This isn't hard to figure out, and it's something that we have seen done repeatedly, and we're doing absolutely nothing about it, absolutely nothing. This is on page 47 of the 9/11 Commission staff report on terrorist travel. Once terrorists had entered the United States, their next challenge was to find a way to remain here. Their primary method was immigration fraud. For example, Yusuf and Ajaj concocted bogus political asylum stories when they arrived in the United States. Mahmoud Abu Alima, involved in both the World Trade Center and Landmark plots, received temporary residence under the Seasonal Agriculture Worker Program after falsely claiming that he picked beans in Florida. And what the politicians won't acknowledge and what the journalists won't talk about is that they make this statement, well, you know, if these aliens have been here for 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, pick a number, pardon me, and they have been paying their taxes, and I don't know what taxes has to do with any of this. And most aliens, by the way, have been filing for the earned tax credit, which means they claim to have a bunch of kids, and they're making less than a certain amount of money. The government mails them billions of dollars going down the tube that way. And in point of fact, it was just revealed that over 500,000 illegal aliens are given Social Security cards. And when foreign workers get access to money, they generally send the money to their families back home. So it's lost to our economy, which further exacerbates our problems. But nobody talks about the obvious. How do you determine how long an illegal alien has been in the United States when there is no capacity for face-to-face interview, when there is no capacity to do field investigations to make certain that people aren't lying? And the answer is there's no way of doing it. And the reason there's no interviews and the reason there's no field investigations is because we are dealing with millions of people and a handful of agents. And the adjudications officers, if they want to meet a quota, and at one point I believe the quota was 12 applications per day, they're able to process an application in roughly 30 minutes if they approve it. If they deny the application, then we're talking hours, days, maybe weeks. Because when they deny an application, the anticipation is that those aliens are going to go to a lawyer and the lawyer is going to file an appeal and they're going to take it into court. So to write an appeal, to write a denial, this is something I did as an examiner. I was what used to be called examiner. Now they call them adjudications officer. I did that for 1 year during the first couple of years of my career. I took a temporary assignment when I was an inspector at Kennedy Airport to do the marriage interviews. Now, if you approved it, you know, there are about five or six places where you had to hit it with the approval stamp, and you stapled certain documents together, and you checked off certain boxes, and you signed your name or your initial, and you stamped it with the facsimile stamp for the district director, and you went to the mailroom at the end of the day, put it into an envelope, and shipped out the letter saying, congratulations, you've been approved. Very simple process. In fact, today they don't do that anymore, because the applications have to go through a processing center in another state. I mean, this is really Rube Goldberg. This is so that they can develop these contracts to reward their cronies and their buddies. There's no reason why an adjudications officer couldn't do what I used to do, what we all did. Go to the mailroom, drop off the envelope, they run it through a stamp machine, and away it goes, and the person has their envelope within a day or two. Now it goes down to a processing center, and it's done by computer, and it's absurd. It's absurd. It costs tons of money, costs a lot of time, and there's always opportunities for screw-ups because, you know, anytime you add a new link to a chain, you're adding the potential for weakness and a flaw, an error. But this is where we are. This Rube Goldberg contrivance that is not meeting the needs of anybody. And so this now passes for business as usual. So when aliens file an application, if we approve it, it zips right through. If they approve it, if there's a denial, it becomes a laborious process. So the great majority of applications zip right on through, even when they lie. The lie is never caught. So this notion that if they've been here for a certain period of time means nothing. You tell them what date they need to say they entered by, and they will, on the application, claim they've been here 8 months longer than that, 2 years longer than that. Who's going to know? Often these folks are using multiple false identities and end up being prosecuted for that crime. And talk to anybody who's been the victim of identity theft, and they'll tell you what kind of hell it puts them through. So the aliens that would apply will know, okay, I've got to have been here at least 3 years or 5 years. And they'll just figure out what the date is and claim they got here 3 months ahead of that. And no one's going to know. You know, on my way into Fox News one day, I was appearing, I think, on Neil Cavuto or perhaps Fox and Friends. I struck up a conversation with the driver who had a very heavy Middle Eastern accent. If I remember correctly, he was from Lebanon. And we were talking about immigration. And I said, oh, how did you get here? He said, oh, I came during the Reagan administration. He said, boy, America is stupid. Boy, music to my ears, right? And I said, well, how stupid are we? Feeling very much like Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon's little routine. How stupid are we? He said, well, back when I filed in the mid-80s, you had to say you worked on a farm, and if you said you worked on a farm, you would get amnesty, and then you could bring your whole family in. He said, well, everybody in my village claimed to work on a farm. I said, well, did you ever work on a farm? He said, of course not. That's why America is stupid. Because we knew what we had to say, and we said what we had to say, and nobody figured it out. So I brought my wife here and my children, and they brought their relatives, you know, because some of them were married, and they brought their in-laws. Holy smoke. You know, one alien gets lucky and gets lawful status, and suddenly we have 50 more. And this was under Reagan. It's both sides of the aisle. With Obama, I mean, it doesn't even matter what they say or do. Everything is great. Everything is fabulous. So we are flooding America with people from countries around the world, including countries that sponsor terrorism. We're flooding our country with more foreign workers, more students for our schools, more potential patients for the emergency rooms, more passengers on those overcrowded buses and trains, and more people in those cars on the overcrowded highways during the rush hour. More people to use the water, where in California there's very little water. It's impacting everything. But today my focus is national security. So we've got this ISIS training camp on the border. And, you know, when I read the article, and I think Tom Fitton is a credible guy. I think the Judicial Watch does a good job. I'm not giving you an endorsement for them, but my feeling about the work they do is that it's important work, and they tend to be accurate. And, you know, when they said unnamed sources or however they had phrased it, certainly that always makes me a little uncomfortable. Well, you know, can you name anybody? But I also understand that they can't, because people don't want to lose their jobs, or in Mexico they don't want to lose their lives. So unnamed sources. But this isn't the first time we've heard this. Back in October, Duncan Hunter, the congressman from California, said the same thing, that he got information from Border Patrol agents that they had apprehended something on the order of 10 ISIS fighters attempting entry into the United States. And we've seen other examples of it. So is it beyond the realm of credibility that these terrorists are setting up shop that close to our border? No, it's not. It's not incredible. It's incredible that we aren't doing anything about it. But the fact that those camps are there, I believe it. There's been enough independent reports from enough different people basically telling the same story, so you have to figure that it's probably true. So even though it was unnamed sources, I'll take it at face value. And again, they might simply be looking at those military bases along the border, because there are a bunch. They might be looking at the electric power stations, because they have that. There's some universities down there. Lots of juicy targets for a terrorist. Or they might be saying, let's go to Washington. Let's go to New York. Let's go to Denver. Let's go to Dallas. You know, it's not necessarily just the border state. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. And in fact, we had that terrorist who was just arrested in Ohio. And all the headlines said, Ohio man arrested. In point of fact, this guy was born in Somalia and just naturalized. And that's really a problem, and I'm going to be writing a major article for the fact that this guy was here for many years, but if you look at the indictment, being a naturalized citizen apparently was a part of his plan, because he wanted that U.S. passport. And so we keep coming back to this lack of integrity within the immigration benefits program, lack of integrity to the border, lack of integrity to Washington in general. Goodness gracious, precious little integrity there. Absolutely no integrity. But again, look at the cascade. Look at the effect. Illegal aliens apply for status, and then we've got a problem. This guy came apparently as a youngster, but he got his citizenship, and right after that he got his passport, and then he went to Syria. All in close proximity time-wise. What could possibly go wrong? So that's problem number one. Then we have problem number two. Interesting story in the news. It was a story about how in California, and this was reported on the California radio station KPCC 89.3, I guess, FM. This is Southern California Public Radio. U.S. senators seek investigation into the abuse of the H-1B visa program at Edison, the power company. And I'm going to read the names of these members of the U.S. Senate, because they are to be commended. They are to be commended for writing a letter saying, hey, we need to know what's going on. Why are you laying off American power workers, energy workers, and bringing in foreign workers? So here are the names. Republicans seeking the investigation, and these names are no shock. They're well known to all of us. Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa. He chairs the House Judiciary Committee. I did a hearing for Senator Grassley 2 years ago. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama. I wish he'd run for president. I was with Jeff back in November when I did an appearance in Florida for the David Horowitz Freedom Center. We were on the same panel along with Congressman Louis Gohmert, another real good guy. So anyway, we have Jeff Sessions of Alabama, James Inhofe of Oklahoma, and Bill Cassidy and David Vitter of Louisiana. The Democrat senators seeking the investigation are Richard Durbin of Illinois, Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, Sherrod Brown of Ohio, and Claire McCaskill of Missouri. And finally, we have an independent. Let's not leave out Bernie Sanders. And they said, what are they doing? Why are these people looking for H-1B high-tech visas when they just laid off Americans over at Edison? And, of course, there's no good answer. The answer is they're looking for cheap labor. I'm glad that they went out and made that point, but it's not just Edison. It's Gates, and it's Zuckerberg, and it's company after company. And they've all been guilty of laying off Americans and bringing in foreign workers. So this is wherein lies the problem. And we've got to really go after them, because this is the destruction of the middle class. You know, this goes back to what I've talked about in weeks past. You know, last week I wasn't here. I had the wonderful opportunity to go to Montana. I did a speaking event at the behest of retired Major General Paul Vallely, who used to be Fox News' senior military analyst, and Paul and I have become friends. Unfortunately, his health is not great, and so he was not able to actually attend the event where I spoke. I wish him a speedy and complete recovery. But I was in Montana, so I didn't get to talk about it then. But I believe the week before, I did talk about this notion of income equality. And everyone was excited, saying, oh, I want some of that income equality. But here's the question never being asked, folks. If we get equality, who will I be made more equal to? Bill Gates or the schnook down the block who's on welfare? And Gates made it, rather, Alan Greenspan testified before Chuck Schumer's hearing back in 2009 when Schumer chaired the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he was very clear. He referred to American skilled workers as the privileged elite. I mean, how galling is that? And said they were earning this wage premium. Didn't call it salaries, wage premium. A premium is extra money. If it's extra, you don't really need it, right? It's a premium. You don't need it. So he said that if we could get them from, you know, if we could slice those wage premiums, then we could greatly reduce inequality in wages between Americans with skills and Americans with no skills. Skill really means education under the immigration law. So the highly skilled, the graduate, people with graduate degrees, unskilled, don't have any degree. And here you have Greenspan saying we need to narrow that gap, reduce that wage deficit. And how do you do that? Get income equality by lowering middle-class wages so that there is a smaller space between them and the working poor. How does that help American families, and how does that help the American economy? This is the madness, folks, that we are dealing with. So you look at that and you say, this is crazy. Well, there's more crazy. There's actually a lot more crazy. We had a situation where a woman, you cannot make this stuff up, really. It was a woman who got stopped by the police in New York for jumping or trying to sneak into the subway. We used to call it turnstile jumping. There are no turnstiles anymore. That's just a way of letting you know just how old I am, turnstile jumping. And so here's the headline, CNN. Immigration scam leads to 10 marriages for New York woman, prosecutors say. Liana Barrientos, 39, rearrested after a court appearance for allegedly fair beating. She's married 10 times as part of an immigration scam, prosecutors say. And Barrientos pleaded not guilty on Friday to misdemeanor charges. Misdemeanor charges, probably the jumping the fair. But here's the thing. The husbands, most of them, came from countries that sponsor terrorism. One of her so-called husband, her eighth husband, Rashid Rajput was deported in 2006 to his native Pakistan after an investigation by the Joint Terrorism Task Force. He had made terroristic threats against the United States, and we deported him. And she's still married to some of these men. And what blew me away, and what blew away some of my former colleagues at the old Immigration Service, was guess who prosecuted this federal case? A local attorney, a state attorney. Why? You have to imagine that the federal government said, oh, we have bigger fish to fry. So this prosecution was not done by the federal government, and it should have been. It was done by the district attorney's office. And you have to ask yourself, why? The woman was married 10 times. This is pretty egregious. Some of the aliens came from countries that sponsor terrorism, such as Pakistan, Turkey, Egypt, Georgia, you know, Chechnya. Think of the Tsarnaev family, folks, and Mali. These are countries that are hotspots. That's who she married. And you know from what I just read to you that a lot of times terrorists would seek to marry an American to stay here so that they didn't have to worry about immigration. And that's probably why JTTF, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, is looking at this other husband. Why did he make the threats? Who's he involved with? This is disturbing. So you would have thought the U.S. attorney would have said, boy, this is a great case. I'm going to go prosecute it. They apparently denied or rejected the prosecution and said, okay, take it across the street if they're willing to do it at the DA's office. So not only do we have an administration that refuses to do the job where immigration is concerned with it within the DHS, but this now goes to the prosecutors. This goes to where Loretta Lynch wants to be. I was just watching the news conference today of the president with the prime minister of Italy, and he said, oh, you know, we have to get, we have to get her through the process so that we can have her as the U.S. attorney, or the attorney general, rather. I'm sorry. She is the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, Loretta Lynch. And he said, she should be the next attorney general. Well, what's the track record that we're looking at where the prosecution of immigration crimes are concerned? You have an administration that is allowing criminal aliens to run free, not looking at alternatives to keep them in custody, to get them removed from the United States, nothing. We have anarchy, I mean absolute anarchy within the immigration system, and this anarchy has consequences, whether it's the loss of jobs, whether it's the loss of life. You know, we're seeing murders committed by these so-called dreamers. You know, these are people that are doing the work Americans won't do, killing people, apparently. We have no idea who they are. And now here you have a case of a woman who, as it turns out, was engaged in marriage fraud to the tune of 10 husbands. You would think the U.S. attorney would snap that case right up and say, okay, I'll do it. Nope. The U.S. attorney walked away from the case and said, well, see where you can peddle it. Fortunately, the district attorney accepted the case. It's embarrassing, and it's foolish, and the penalties under state law are far smaller than they would be under federal law. So why are we doing it? Why do we have a president who is so determined to provide lawful status to millions of illegal aliens? Well, it would seem that they're doing it to keep the promise of changing the electorate in the United States. This seems to be a absolute effort, a guided effort with intent to bring in millions upon millions of foreign workers, foreign voters, people who want to send money back to their home countries. Americans don't win with this deal, and America does not win with this deal. And yet, you know, here we are again. And the Fifth Circuit earlier today, I believe, said, oh, I'm not sure that the governors from those 26 states, I believe it is, has standing. They didn't accept the case that this is imposing great cost on them. Really? The schools, the hospitals, all that business doesn't impose? You know, it's just so delusional, just like when the president stood there today and said we have a 5.5 unemployment rate. 5.5%, and you're ignoring tens of millions of underemployed and underemployed Americans? You know, if you look at the capsweb.org website, they pegged the number at something around 19% unemployment rate in the United States. That's a little bit of a gap, do you think, between 5.5 and 19 point something? Clearly the numbers are doctored. Clearly this guy, this president of ours, is coming up with falsehoods. I don't know any polite way of saying it. It's not even just propaganda. They're blatantly wrong. And no one says a word. And when you try to talk to some journalists, as I have, they'd say, oh, immigration, Mr. Cutler, has nothing to do with terrorism. And I've heard this from some members of Congress when I've testified before congressional hearings. Immigration has nothing to do with terrorism. Well, if that's the case, then why did the 9/11 Commission report state right at the beginning, right in the preface, that it may seem obvious, I'm paraphrasing, but in order to attack us, these terrorists had to get here, and that's where the borders come in. That's where visas come in. But yet here I am talking to somebody who is an executive within the DHS, the Department of Homeland Surrender, as I've come to refer to it. And what does he say? Oh, no, 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 no. Nothing to see here, folks. Keep moving. Really? Nothing to see here? Absolutely astonishing. We're undermining national security. We're undermining the jobs of American workers. We're undermining the U.S. economy. But there's nothing to see here. Totally crazy. And now you have this woman who can't get the, who would not be prosecuted by the federal government, had to go to the state. No one is asking the questions, and so therefore no one is getting the answers. Although I got to tell you, I don't think that the answer you would get from the president would be worth anything anyway, just a bunch of double talk. And now we go to another case. See, it's just a bunch of rolling cases here, folks. Ex-CEO of Bay Area University pleads guilty to role in student visa fraud scheme. Apparently, at least 100 students were let into the school, into the country to attend his school. They went missing. They weren't attending school. And nobody knows and nobody cares, and no one's going to look for those 100 students, 100-plus students. The government seized over $700,000 from this guy, according to the press release issued by the Justice Department and issued by Immigration. So they talk about the success of this one woman, so maybe she'll get 2 years in jail. They seize $700,000. God knows there's probably more money squirreled away somewhere. And the beat goes on, and the aliens remain here, and we don't know who they are, but we do know that ISIS keeps saying they want to kill us. Why can't we take them at their word? Why can't we accept the fact that they do want to kill us, and that if they could gain access to our country, they will pull off attacks here? This isn't wrong. This isn't crazy. It's not black helicopter stuff. It's a statement of fact. These are individuals who are at war with us. There was a horrific story about a boat filled with refugees trying to get, I believe, to Italy this morning, and the people on board the boat threw the Christians off the boat into the water. I mean, this is violent stuff. People are dying. And everyone is moving glacially. Meanwhile, we have a president that wants to have a unilateral deal with Iran, unilateral from the perspective of no congressional involvement, and unilateral, it would seem, from the perspective of the United States making all the concessions and Iran doing nothing. Actually, less than nothing, as we know they're lying. But nobody talks about that. Nobody says a word. No one questions how in the world does it make any sense for anybody that we cut this deal with Iran when we know they're not going to tell the truth. We know they're not going to adhere to their part of the bargain. The Israeli prime minister gets up and says, boy, this is dangerous. If you look at the king of Jordan, he's parroting what the Israelis had to say. This is dangerous. And we have a president here who says, full speed ahead. The risks are tremendous, folks. I mean, really humongous. But not a word comes out of most of the media, and it's business as usual. You know, it's just, it's astonishing. You go to the evening news, and they keep rerunning the same silly stories. It's incredible. You know, we'll probably be hearing about the sportscaster, this blonde lady, for the next 6 months. Because, you know, she's a pretty-looking woman, and she used a foul mouth, so now everyone's all excited. You know, or at least a nasty mouth. I don't know that it was a foul mouth, but certainly very nasty. And that's going to be the evening news. That's why this program exists, my program, the Michael Cutler Hour, because we really need to deal with the facts. How can you protect a country when you have millions of people here, no way of knowing who they are, and we're giving them identity documents? Look at this guy from Ohio. He became a naturalized U.S. citizen a year ago, and then he tries to attack us. And if you read through the indictment, it would appear that U.S. citizenship was a part of his plan. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't a coincidence. It was part of an overarching strategy. And where is our strategy? Tell me, where is our strategy even as the threats ramp up? There was a vehicle abandoned near a New Jersey military base today, and they evacuated the base. Holy smoke, we don't know who the guy is. Everybody run. Run for your life. But there's nothing to see here, folks. Don't worry about terrorism. It's just this big boogeyman. Except when he comes driving down the road, then we'll all run and hide. This is twisted. This is really twisted. And part of the reason it's twisted is because the average American is sitting out to dance. The average American is not going to their elected representative and saying, what in the world are you doing? Why would you allow people who snuck into the country, entered without inspection, trespassed on America, why are you treating them like honored guests? Those are answers you're probably never going to get. I mean, you might get them from the individual senator, and you're not going to be happy with the answer because they're going to point to their colleagues. Probably the answer you would get from all of the various people that are out there. There's this fantasy, and nobody wants to discuss the reality. So they create this mythology and say, everything is fine. Just let it be. Immigration's not a problem. These are just people that want to wash your dishes. And what no one notices is that the day before a terrorist attack, what do terrorists tend to do? They go to the jobs where they've been hiding in plain sight. And even when we naturalize people, like this terrorist from Ohio, nobody noticed that this guy was posting stuff on Facebook, posting photos of himself with weapons and saying about how he wanted to go and fight in the Middle East against America, and we naturalize him. Does this make any sense to anybody? You have a president who's giving millions or wants to give millions of illegal aliens identity documents, and the Fifth Circuit, or Fifth Circus, more appropriately, says to these state governors, oh, really, how does this affect you? You're not really demonstrating that this is a problem. And the agents tried to get standing and saying, look, we're being given illegal orders. And the Fifth Circuit said, oh, what's the big deal? That's how twisted it is. Instead of upholding the law for the best interests of our country and our citizens, the opposite is happening. The opposite is happening. And our government is acting as though Americans had no rights and all the illegal aliens have the bulk of the rights. And unfortunately, that's the impression that the world now has, that our immigration laws are meaningless, that our borders are meaningless. And every day this administration's actions and lack of actions convince everybody that that's precisely what the story is. U.S. attorneys that won't prosecute cases that should be prosecuted. How do you reconcile that? How do you reconcile that? So that's really what the issue is, folks, for us to all to understand. And what's necessary is that for all of us, the mission has to be, go to your elected representative and sit down with that person and say, look, what you're doing makes no sense. If you push for comprehensive reform, we're going to give millions of people identity documents. We won't be able to interview them. We won't be able to verify their information. You're going to put them in direct competition with Americans who can't find work. You know, we built the middle class in this country with the aid of the Labor Department because back in that era, just before the Second World War, the adjudication of applications for immigration benefits was the primary responsibility of the Labor Department. That was the deal. And the Labor Department said, no, you can't. We've got enough of that profession, or we've got enough of this other profession. And we kept out the people who would have competed unfairly with Americans for their jobs. And the consequence was that wages rose, unemployment went down, more and more Americans got to live their thin slice of the American dream, which emboldened and encouraged more Americans. No more. Today, wages are in decline. This generation, for the first time in many years, will do worse than their parents, for the most part. There will be some shining exemptions or exceptions. But for the most part, folks, what we're really looking at is a chaotic situation where the illegal aliens are being rewarded faster than anybody else, where the system is no longer meeting the needs of the average American family. It's a betrayal. It's an absolute betrayal, and someone needs to stand up and say, you know, this isn't right. This is something you should not be doing. But yet here we are, and we're doing it, and it's just really incredible. And you say to yourself, how do we turn this around? And I think the way we have to turn this around is to start writing letters and start making phone calls and start to arrange to have face-to-face meetings with our elected representatives in Congress. Because if we don't have those meetings and we don't confront them with the facts, they're going to continue down this ridiculous path. And this is the path to self-destruction between ISIS and the transnational criminals and the amounts of narcotics flowing into the country. This is not going to end well. This cannot end well if we continue down this path. This is a clear trajectory into a dark pit, you know, into oblivion. And why would we do that? Why would we not look out there and say, hey, listen, we have a legal system. We spend $3.3 billion a year inspecting passengers. And by the way, even there, we're going to an automated system. So sight unseen, we are continuing to admit ever greater numbers of aliens into America. And if you go to the website from the various international airports around the country, one of the things that you're going to be struck by, this is a whole other issue, and I'm going to have to write another major story about this one, what you run into are the various state authorities that run the airports are going to different vendors to put in these automated passport control devices, kiosks. And it's aptly called passport control, kind of like a phrase used in other countries, because this has nothing to do with the people. You go in there, as long as you've entered the United States at least once since 2008, and this applies to visa waiver countries also, no face-to-face with any inspector. And I can't tell you how invaluable those face-to-face interviews were. The guy was nervous. The guy said something, did something. You started to dig, and lo and behold, the guy was a fugitive or whatever. We're purposely giving up that potential because if you go to those websites, all they talk about is how they reduce the wait time to be admitted into the United States. We're going to move that line at warp speed. Well, how good are we doing then at keeping out the people who want to kill us? How good are we at doing at keeping out people who want to work illegally? Nobody cares about that anymore, but we should, because the jobs that the aliens are taking are jobs Americans should have. And when you have chaos, it begets chaos. Something that you may find interesting, when I was acting as an adjudications officer for a year, this was 1973 to 1974, really, the horse and buggy days, it's hard to believe it's been so long now. The more that we interviewed the people that were filing the applications, the fewer the number of applications that were filed. Now, what this meant was we had a smaller workload so we could pay more attention to each application, which meant it was harder to get fraud by, which meant that fewer applications were filed, which meant we had even more time. So this was a spiral in a positive direction. The more we cracked down on the fraud, the more we deterred people from filing fraudulent applications, the more it became an easier matter to spend the time to really go over the files and make certain you weren't being lied to. Good idea. However, the opposite happens now. Because no one's being interviewed and there's no real consequences for lying, everybody's lying. More applications keep pouring in, and the more the number of the applications grows, the more difficult it becomes to process the applications with any integrity, allowing more fraud to get by, giving more people more incentives to file fraudulent applications, knowing that nothing is going to happen. that no one is going to catch the fraud, and even if somebody gets suspicious, so what? No action will be taken. There's no deterrence. And we have got to work at deterrence. You know, Chuck Schumer screamed and ranted and raved. I think I talked about it the last time I was on. And he said, the reason people trespass on the Brooklyn Bridge and the Manhattan Bridge and the Trade Center, the reason is simple. Because there's no real penalty. They're looking at a maximum of a year in jail. And because of the way things are, the worst they're going to get is a couple of months in jail. So it doesn't deter anybody from trespassing. Well, you know what? Schumer's right. And Chuck Schumer said that the appropriate penalty for trespassing on a landmark in New York City should be 5 years in jail. So stop and think. Chuck Schumer wants to put trespassers in jail for a half decade. Half decade. That's pretty heavy. However, when you trespass on America, the same Mr. Schumer believes that you have now earned a pathway to United States citizenship. The disconnect is astonishing. And when you try to speak to journalists and say, you know, you've got to look at this from a different angle. I just did this a couple of days ago, and this journalist said to me, he said, oh, Mr. Cutler, if people are coming here out of desperation to work, why should that be a concern to national security? I said, don't you understand that it's just a way of being here and getting their foot in the door, and they're going to attend all those hearings and so forth. And by the time they're done, God knows they may not even have to do anything else because the whole paperwork will have been processed through and we're done. There's absolutely no integrity to any of this. And it just keeps on creating more and more of a vicious cycle. The word is out around the world, come to America, violate the laws, violate the borders, and get away with it. So you have ISIS training camps now, apparently, on that southern border. And they know that if they can get into the country with the assistance of the smugglers, and that's what the article alleged, that they're working with the same smugglers that bring the drugs in, that they can get to the interior of the United States. So how safe are any of us if terrorists want to get here and know that they can deal with the people who are really in control of our border? Not our border patrol, but in fact the cartels that at will can move narcotics into the United States and move people into the United States. This is a dangerous era of unprecedented proportions. Our border was never so ignored by our own government. And the risks have never been greater, whether it's ISIS, whether it's Al-Qaeda, whatever. The risks are huge. The borders are wide open. Everybody around the world knows all these facts. So how do we then deter ISIS terrorists or criminals from entering the United States? Because now they know that they're going to get a very pleasant reception when they come here. And now they're gearing up again for yet another onslaught of kids this summer. So if the Border Patrol is busy acting as concierge service for the children, who's going to watch the border to make certain that those ISIS agents, ISIS terrorists, don't get across our border? And the answer is nobody will be doing anything about it. So while the Border Patrol will be playing nursemaid to God knows how many hundreds of thousands of unaccompanied minors, which is what the potential is, the bad guys will easily be able to walk across that border, come to America, hop in a van, hop on a train, whatever, maybe even an aircraft, depending on what documents they have, and head for the rest of the country. Doesn't that cause anybody out there to wonder about how safe we are? Because this is not safe. It's very dangerous. And the politicians, they're just standing by, smirking, because I guarantee you that the Republicans are seeing a win-win in all this. How do they win? Well, the people that are making the contributions want this massive number of foreigners into the country. So they just sit back and let it happen. They give a speech. They beat up on Obama for violating the rule of law, which most people don't care about, and the judges generally don't care about. So these guys don't get any time in jail. Maybe they don't even get prosecuted, and they're here. And over time, their friends can come here. Everybody can come here. Everybody can come here with impunity, and guess what the consequences are? There are no consequences. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know where to begin. And yet, the headlines are blaring all day. We have this guy in the gyrocopter that landed on you know, right by the Capitol. We have ISIS training camps. We have this guy in Ohio. I'm waiting to find out what the flavor of the month will be tomorrow when I turn on the news in the morning, because it keeps happening. And there is no accounting for who's here, but we're somehow told that mystically this will make us safe. And in my humble opinion, no, it won't. There's no way for it to make us safe, because there's no integrity to the screening process that's supposed to keep out the bad guys. So what we really need to do, and I ask all of you folks out there to do this, if you're listening to my program, I'm thrilled you are, but please reach out to your elected representative. Reach out to your senator. Reach out to your congressman. Reach out to your governor, city council member, mayor. Tell them, stop sanctuary cities if you live in one. This is nuts. Immigration is not an only. Oh, he only ran the border. No, he's a trespasser, and I'm not being a stickler. It's about national security. Look at what the 9/11 Commission had to say. It's available online. Go look up the 9/11 Commission report. And when you see the way they talked about the relative ease with which these illegal aliens were able to enter the United States, they were able to embed themselves in the United States, then you realize just how dangerous this whole situation is. And you've got to confront the politicians and tell them, listen, we're not buying the nonsense. We don't accept the lie that this isn't a problem or that you can't do anything about it. We are very close to having a country without borders. You cannot defend a country with no borders. You know, even if you look at the English language, you know, when people are in trouble, they circle the wagons. They create a perimeter. Do they not? Circling the wagons? Isn't that what you do? Well, they fixed our wagons, didn't they? The Obama administration has made certain that there's no wagons to circle. So you're out there and you're exposed. And if things work out well, then people will say this guy was a brilliant guy, the people behind this theory. But it's not going to work out, okay? Because we're already seeing the influx of the criminals and the drugs. And sooner or later, God forbid, one of these terrorists are going to manage to pull something off. And then people are going to backtrack and say, wow, if only we had stopped him. If only we didn't allow him to get that driver's license. If only we prevented him from entering in the first place. You know, if an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, when you're dealing with terrorists, you could say that an ounce of prevention is worth tons of cure. Think of the carnage that they want to, you know, create for us. It's very dangerous. The threat is very real. I'm not trying to be, you know, a crazy guy and saying, oh, look out, look out, look out. The sky's falling. But what we're doing is violating the law. We're violating common sense. And my great concern is that there will be a price to be paid. That's the concern that all of us should have. So just stop and think about it. The idea that we have a president that's so out of control, providing people, aliens who have no right to be here, with lawful status, making a mockery of our laws, it's very dangerous. It's extremely dangerous. But what I'm asking you to do is take the information that we're able to provide on the program and make certain that you share it with those elected representatives and tell them that, you know, we're not that stupid. We understand what's happening. When the newspaper says Ohio man and the guy was born in Somalia, that should give us all pause for cause. We need to write letters to the editor and say, look, why do you call this guy a Chicago man? Yes, he was a naturalized citizen, but he naturalized shortly before he went over to the other side to be trained and maybe come back here and kill a bunch of people. It's almost a how dare you, isn't it? How dare you describe someone like that as an American? Because what the goal is to ignore the immigration component. That this was a guy that was led into our country, and quite frankly, maybe should not have been led into our country, you think? It's absolutely mind-boggling. But that's where we are today, and I think we're here in part because all too many of our fellow Americans over the years have sat out the dance, never made Washington accountable, never made City Hall or their state legislators accountable. So when you have a vacuum, some really bad things can sometimes fill that vacuum, fill that void. And that's really where we are. This country created the vacuum, and the void is being filled in ways that nobody in their right mind would be happy about. And it's up to us, we the people, to change that equation. As always, I want to thank you for joining me this evening. It was really a delight to be here with you and share that hour. I look forward to joining you again next week at the same time for the Michael Cutler Hour, where God knows what will happen between now and then. I shouldn't be chuckling, because we do live in a very serious era, an extremely serious era. So what we really need to do is to get our voices heard, try to keep ourselves educated. Don't despair. Don't despair. See, I believe we're on the right path, and I think we're on the path of history. I really believe that. But no matter where you are on the issue, being educated is something that I believe is very helpful for everybody. So please get educated on the topic. Please go to my website, michaelcutler.net. Please go to capsweb.org or Front Page Magazine. The Social Contract also has one of my articles. I'm really out there. The Daily Caller has a couple of my articles up. So please go to those websites. And I will see you back here in another week, and that date will be the 24th of April at 7 o'clock. And as I always like to say at the end of my programs, folks, democracy is not a spectator sport. Have a terrific weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you next week. So long for now.